Genesis, the 35th chapter. Genesis, the 35th chapter. Verse 9. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, you might as well get what you need while you're here. Hallelujah. There's no need to get dressed up and get up in the morning and come to church for no reason. Come get what you need from the Lord. Come on. Acknowledge that He's been good to you. Acknowledge that He's made a way out of no way. Ah. Come on, acknowledge that He never left you when He could have. Acknowledge that when you chose to make your bed in hell, He jumped right down in there with you and pulled you out of the muck and miry clay and set your feet upon a rock and established your going. Ah. Hallelujah. He's been so good. Hallelujah. 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 Get what you need. If you're watching us live stream, get what you need. Yeah. Get what you need. Genesis, the 35th chapter, verse 9. If you don't have a Bible, we have it on the screens. It's all good. Don't worry about it. I want to take you somewhere. I want to take you there quick. I'm going to drop this word down in your spirit. I want you to get what you need. We don't entertain you. I want you to get what you need. I want you to leave changed, transformed, renewed, restored. Refresh, revive, save, set free, heal. Genesis 35, verse 9. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padanaram and blessed him. Blessed him. And God said unto him, your name is Jacob, but your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be thy name. And the Bible says he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee. And even kings shall come out of your family. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give, and to your seed. And after thee will I give the land. Verse 13 says, and God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. Somebody shout the place. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, Bethel, or the house of God. I want to preach to you this morning from the subject, A Certain Place. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening and makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of the heart. Father, don't just speak any word, speak a word, the word. A word that will transform us. A word that doesn't change some things, but a word that changes everything. Causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. Transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Touch each and every heart in this room so it's open to receive the word. Anoint every ear that we're able to hear it. Father, the most important thing in this place is that you have your way. We can't do it without you, God. We can't do it without you, Father. It doesn't matter that we can preach or that we can sing. If your presence is not involved, then nothing will happen. So come, Holy Spirit. Move as you see fit. Heal, touch, and deliver. Set free all that want it, all that came for something. Give it to them, Father. And we will give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor real quick. Smile as bright as you can. You know how we do it, KLC. Show them at least 10 teeth. If you don't show them 10 teeth, it doesn't count. And say, God is taking you to a certain place. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. God is taking you to a certain place. A certain place is a place where you live wide awake. It is a place where you become a wide awake designer and where you decide that you're going to be able to cultivate no matter where God takes you. In other words, a certain place is the place where you're comfortable being in the gap. The scripture says that God looked for a man who was able to stand in the gap. What I've come to realize and what I've come to learn about the Lord is that the Lord loves the gap. He loves the in-between spaces. He loves the in-between of where he's taken you and where you've come from. It is us that is very uncomfortable in those moments of transition, in those moments of flux, and we are so uncomfortable in the gap. And the reason we are uncomfortable in the gap is because we want control, not peace. When you have peace, you lose control. Because the peace passeth all understanding and it protects and guards your heart and your mind. And it should look like you should not be calm. It should look like you should be losing your mind. But you're standing in the middle of a gap with 1,000 falling at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. But you have this peace because you know none of it is going to come nigh you. You have this peace because you can see the weapon forming. You can see it coming at you. And you can see all the attacks that are mounting. But you know it's not going to be able to prosper. The gap is the place where you have such a comfort in who God is that you're able to trust in him and lean not on your own understanding. And in every way, in every direction you take, you acknowledge him to say, is it you? Is it you? If it's not you, I'll stand still. If it's not you, I'll wait. If it's not you, I'll hold on. But if it's you, tell me to come and I'll step out of this boat and start walking on stuff that I'm not supposed to walk on. That's the gap. Look at your neighbor and say, you're in the gap. You're in the gap. When you're in the gap, you have to be a wide awake designer. You have to understand you can cultivate no matter where God has you. It's not this either or mentality. It's not this zero sum game. It's not this, stay right here, Phillips, don't you come out there. It's not this zero sum game where it's either or. Either I'll get blessed or I'll get cursed, or God will give me favor or he won't give me favor, or it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. Look at your neighbor and say, it ain't that simple, baby. It ain't that simple. You and I want it cut and dry. We want it black and white, but it's deeper than that. That's why you have to be comfortable in the gap. The reason that it's deeper than that is because God is trying to take you to the place, and the place is a certain place. As in, a certain place is a place where God showed himself to you and you didn't even know that it was God, and you had to learn how God operates before you can appreciate the place and before God can take you into a place of your most productivity, of the place that will affirm your belonging and affirm that you're supposed to be there, and affirm that God had called you to it, and affirm your purpose that God has given you that cannot fail. And before God can produce it and release it in your life, you have to learn how to live in the gap. Look at your neighbor and say, learn how to live in the gap. Learn how to live in the gap. The gap is not comfortable. It is horrible, and we like to stay asleep in the gap, unaware, and walk around blithely to the fact that God is blessing you despite the fact that you're giving him a hard time in a difficult way because you haven't learned how to really trust him, and you keep going back to the past and going back to the negativity and going back to the stuff that doesn't matter. Go ahead one more time, do another test run, look at your neighbor and say, leave the past where it belongs, boo. Leave the past. Let me get back over here. Before I get too hot and heavy into what I want to go, the gap is how you have to learn to perceive God moving you into new seas that you have to now navigate. You have to learn how to operate on a whole different dimension and on a whole new level. Most people don't appreciate the new level that they're on because usually when you enter into a new level, you enter into it as a low person. In other words, God opens a door and he gives you another dimension, but when you go in, you still start at ground level, but you're no longer on the level that you were on. I wish I had somebody in here. If I was to use a biblical example of that, I don't even know why I'm on this, but I understand it. But if I wanted to use a biblical example of that, it would be that of the relationship of Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha is plowing his father's field, and then Elijah gets the word of the Lord to come past here and put his mantle on him. When he puts his mantle on him, Elijah stops plowing and goes to Elisha and says, let me go back and tell my parents what's happening, and then I'm going to come and follow. Elijah says to him, don't you forget what just happened to you. We have to know that Elisha was ready and waiting for what was about to take place because he wasn't shocked when the mantle got put on him. Immediately he took his hand off the plow, but knew that would not be enough to operate in the new dimension. It's not going to be enough to just stop doing what you were doing. You got to burn what you were doing. That's why the Bible says he went back and burned the plow so that he would not have anything to go back to. So he was following the ox. Now he's following a man. You don't hear what I'm saying. He's still following, but in a different dimension. It's the same concept when God comes to Peter and says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You're still going to be fishing, but it's going to be in another dimension. Don't get so upset that it still looks like you're doing the same thing, but you're doing it at a different level, on a different dimension. The old thing that you were doing was practice for the thing that God calls you to do, to work out the kinks in your character. I'm going to preach to this side over here because I think they're going to respond. God loves to practice in the dirt. He loves to play in the dirt. In the gap, you have to be wide awake. You got to do what the young folks say. You got to stay woke. Look at your neighbor and say, stay woke, baby. You got to stay woke. And the reason that you have to stay woke is because you have to discern that you can design in this place. In other words, you can begin to create your future with the word God gave you. Instead of waiting for it to show up, you can start creating it with the word. Oh God, I'm getting here somewhere. And so let me do my intro, because look at your name and say, this is just the intro. Come on, this is just the intro. When you have to navigate these strange seas and navigate this gap, and you begin to study the snapshots of your life, and you begin to search and look for deeper meaning, because it's in the gap that you start seeing some of the same stuff and going through some of the same cycles and seeing some of the same people, and you start questioning, God, why am I here? What am I doing? Where do I belong? How do I get there? Is there a place for me? Is there a pathway to get there? Is there a promise for me to inherit? And the answer to all these things is absolutely yes. Can you just nudge your neighbor and say, there is a place for you? Come on. There is a pathway for you to get there. And there is a promise for you to inherit, but you have to learn how to mine this gap. You have to learn how to be comfortable in this narrow space between where God said you're supposed to be and where God brought you from. You're not where God said you're supposed to be yet, but you are so far distant from where God brought you from. I wish I had somebody in here that you should be praising and thanking God, not so much for where you're going, but just for where he brought you from. I don't know about you, but when I look back over the snapshots of my life and start to think things over, I realize God has brought me a... Somebody thank him for how far you are from the mindset you used to have, from the people you used to walk with, from the stuff you used to do, from the things that had you bound. Whoa! For whom the sun sets free. It's free. Y'all sit down. Let me preach this thing. Sit down. Let me preach this thing. Watch this. Let me preach this thing. So when you start looking at the snapshots of your life, and you start trying to understand the scenes and the degrees that are going on in each scene, and you begin to react to the scenes in your story to the degree that you understood them, because you can only react to the degree that you understand. And so if it looked like success to you, you rejoiced and you moved on, because to you, you perceived success, and so you moved on. But if it reeked of failure, you wrote it off as if it was a blunder or a waste of time. Slap your neighbor and say, it's never a waste of time. It's never, oh, I'm preaching and you don't understand. No, it's never a waste of time. God never discards the things that are in your life, even your failure and your mistakes. Come on here. Your life, I tweeted, I texted this out the other day, your life is either an example or a warning. And in actuality, it's both in different stages. You can strive for the former all you want to, and we all do, but you have to understand it's going to be both at different stages in your life based upon where you are and how you understand what's going on. If it's perceived as success, you love it and you rejoice and you praise God for it. But if it's perceived as failure, my God, you write it off and you rebuke it and you say the Lord is not in it and the Lord is not there. If it's perceived as a difficulty, you say, why has this happened to me and why is the enemy doing this to me? I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. The moment you have some difficulty, the moment you have some hard time, you then perceive that God is not there. You have to start learning that God is in the difficulty as much as he is in the destiny. God is in the bad place as much as he is in the good place. I got it. No, I'm gonna keep it here. God is in the difficulty just as much as he is in the destiny. He's in the bad place just as much as he is in the good place. He's the light that shines out of the darkness. Ah, God, God is not moved by the difficulty. When he sees the difficulty in the darkness, he says, now I can get some work done, because they're out of the way. Their mindsets are out of the way. Their ego is out of the way. Their will is out of the way. And then he puts you in this thing called the gap, the in-between. Ugh. Not where I was, but I'm not where I'm going. I'm in the gap. I see where God can take me. I see my potential. I see my purpose. I realize it. I recognize it. But it's still some lessons I got to learn in the gap before God can take me to the place. Because if I don't learn the lessons in the gap, I'm going to mess up the place. Huh. And the place is permanent. You got it, boy, some of y'all going to miss this word today. The place is permanent. It is not transient. It is not superficial. It's permanent. It's stable. It's something that you cannot get out of ever again, because it's based on covenant promise, and it just is. So I got to learn these lessons in the gap way before God allows me to step into the place. And he'll take as long as he need to take. Oh, you don't want to hear that right there. He'll take as long as he needs to take. Come on, Phillips, get out the intro. Come on, help me out here. He'll take as long as he needs to take, because to you, if it reeks of failure, you still write it off. And like many of us, my God, you begin to kick yourself and kick the rock of regret down the road, because you start saying to yourself, I wish I woulda, I wish I coulda, I wish I did, if I just would have, hindsight, so forth and so on. And you start looking back. Oh, stay with me. And you start looking back. And as long as you start looking back, you start living back. When you start looking back over your life and look at the snapshots of them, you know that the snapshots are never meaningless, because you really long to understand all of it. And so, you know, each time you begin to dust off a snapshot of your life, they look a little bit different because, you know, watch me now, because, Lord have mercy, because, watch me now, because you're, okay, here's the way I'm going to say it. It's going to sound bad to you, but it is what it is. I love you, but this one gonna hurt. The reason why you look at the snapshots of your life and you begin to long to understand them, and you begin to dust them off and they look a little bit different, is because you are flighty. You and your perceptions are changing continuously. I knew that would go over big. You're flighty. You're flighty. Fickle. Sometimey. So-so Christian. So-so, Sunday only. Because you ain't saved on Monday. Sunday, you good and saved. Holy is the Lord. Monday, not so much. Wednesday, forget about it. And on Friday, we all need mercy in the name of Jesus. Just. I gotta get. Is this all right? Is this all right? I'm sorry. I gotta lay this groundwork. So now you're in the gap, and everything you thought you knew has been turned inside out. And so you're like someone with an itch that cannot be scratched, and you can't solve or resolve this weirdness, but you can't get it out of your mind either. You know there's some things in your life that you really got to work on, and you're so thankful that God brought you a mighty long way, but you still feel a long way from where God said he wants to take you, and where God wants to take you is pulling you this way. But you know that there's some things in your life that if you don't get correct, this way is going to kill you, because it's going to make you way more vulnerable and way more visible. Don't nobody really know who you are in the gap, but if they see your flightiness in the place, then it's going to be everywhere. Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, y'all ain't said enough. Everybody going to know you crazy. Everybody's gonna know you're crazy. So God gives you this gap, this space of the in-between. And it's in the in-between you have to learn that there's other options than either or. There's always a God option. Oh God, there's always a God option. Let me work this thing. So now we've come to this place of understanding that Jacob is in Bethel. He's in Bethel because God tells him, I want you to get your family up. I want you to go down to Bethel. And when he goes down to Bethel, God blesses him there. And he changes his name. This was not the first time that God told Jacob, your name will not be Jacob, it will be Israel. This is not the first time that God blessed him. This is not the first time that God showed up in a place to bless Jacob. This is the fourth time. It's the fourth time because Jacob has to learn how to navigate the gap. He has to learn how that faith is not a zero-sum game. He has to realize that faith is the opposite of resentment and cynicism and negativity. He has to realize faith has the power to create what it desires. I'm going to say that one more time. He has to realize that faith has the power to create what it desires. Conversely, so does fear. And so when you begin to operate in fear, fear also has the power to create what it desires. So if I have faith, you don't hear what I'm saying. I'm not having faith to get to further myself along or get to a certain place. I'm having faith as an end in of itself. In other words, I'm not having faith to get to the end. Faith is the end. The moment I believe, I'm there. I'm going to say that again. The moment I believe, I am there. The moment I fear, I have arrived. You don't hear what I'm saying. So if I walk in fear, then the thing that I'm fearing the most comes upon me because it doesn't have to happen for me to live it out. God, am I preaching to somebody? In other words, if I walk in fear, I start living in it because I am fearful. And so my actions start to dictate what I'm thinking, what I'm perceiving, and what I am believing. Also, if I then choose to walk in faith, then what my faith believes, it can create because I've chosen that to believe that God is and that he is a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. So he doesn't have to do anything, he just is. So I don't have to give God praise for what he has done. I can give God praise for who he is because my faith is not predicated upon what he has done, but who he is. This is why people don't understand your hallelujah. Because they often think you're praising God for something that he has done. I'm often usually not praising God for something he's done. It's just that my spirit awakens and go, oh, you're a wonder. Oh, you're a way maker. Oh, you're a healer. Oh, you're the great and mighty counselor. Oh, God. Oh, God. No, don't get me started over here. Oh, I feel an old school quickening down in my spirit. Oh, God. You. No. No. The beauty about the gap is that you cannot be in a more promising position. Look at your neighbor and say, you're in a promising position. The problem is that you have to choose to engage the gap. Because if you choose to engage the gap, it will turn everything around and set everything in a new light. It will help you to see yourself, watch it now, and your story in a new and innovative way, and then your soul can grow inside the story. Instead of waiting for your soul to grow after the story is over. In other words, I experience the experience. I don't just go through it. That's why David said, yea, though I walk through, not run through. I wish I had somebody. Because walk intimates a deeper trust and a deeper connection. So I don't have to run through it. I can walk through it. Oh, who am I preaching to in here? I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. Why? Because I know that God is with me. I feel like preaching in here and y'all ain't helping me out. Slap your name and say, can you walk through it, baby? Can you walk? So I can walk through it. I can walk through the pain. I can walk through the disappointment. I wish I had somebody in here. See, all you want to walk through is the good stuff. But it's not going to get you to the place. You got to learn how to walk through the bad stuff and still trust him to get you to the. Oh, God, slap your neighbor a high five and say, you're in a promising position, baby. Just walk through it. Let me hurry up. Am I preaching all right? So watch me now. So now you got to see yourself in this story in new innovative ways so that you can break free from old paradigms and burst upon the life you were destined to occupy. The place is the life that you were destined to occupy. It's the life that was designed specifically and tailored for you. Look at your name and say, it's your spot, baby. The beauty about your spot is that nobody else can be in it. What I'm trying to say is everybody in here has a place. Oh, Jesus said, I am going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many rooms, many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I'm going to prepare a place for you, don't you know I got to come back and get you and take you to the place? Oh, look at your neighbor and say, I'm walking to the place, baby. I'm walking to the destiny that I am supposed to occupy. I'm walking to the purpose that God has given me. I'm walking to the place. I'm going to give you these real quick and then I'm going to leave. I promise. So Jacob is at the place. How did he get there? He gets there because, watch me now, he gets there because God shows up in Isaac's life, who was the promised seed of Abraham. I got to hurry up here. God gives Abraham a promise to make you father of many nations. He gives him a son, Isaac, when it looked like it wasn't going to happen. 25 years, Abraham had to wait to get to the place. 25 years, Abraham had to wait to get to look at you like, Lord, do I gotta wait 25? Calm down. Let me help you out. 25 years he had to wait to get to the place. Isaac is born, the son of promise is born. And now when Isaac is born, God takes him to the place. And he says, sacrifice him on this altar. I'm preaching way better than y'all shout out. And he takes him up to the place to sacrifice him on the altar. And when he takes him up to the place, he's going, God, I know you don't want me to kill my promise. And God is saying, no, I don't want you to kill your promise. I just want you to trust me with the promise that I gave you. I need you to know that without me, the promise does not matter. You don't hear what I'm saying. So do you trust me enough to give me the promise when I ask you for it? Or is it just about the promise? He has to learn how to trust God, and he's learning how to trust God, and he goes up to the place, and he's going to sacrifice Isaac. He binds him, puts him on the altar, and he's going to cut him with a knife. He doesn't cut him with the knife because God says, I just wanted to see where your heart. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. God had a ram in the bush that was going to be the sacrifice. What you think you have to give up, you do not have to give up. God always has something. You don't hear what I'm saying. God always has something caught in the thicket that you can sacrifice and that you can lose. Y'all just missed the place to shout. You just missed the place. The reason for your consternation is that you think you got to give up so much. It's not that you have to give up so much. It's just that you have to really give God your yes. And you have to say yes to walking to the place and no to everything that's going to restrict you from getting there. That means your mindsets and your perceptions and your self-sabotage and your, oh God, I'm preaching way better than y'all. I gotta hurry up and get there. And so Isaac is born and he has to go through the same journey. He has to come from where God takes him and then travels to the place. When he travels to the place, he has to mind the gap and learn how to navigate the gap. For him, God sends him out and now he has to find his own place and he's going through his own perils and he has to walk through his own difficulty. When he starts walking through his own difficulty and going through his own perils, he's trying to find room for himself and all that God has blessed him with. And so he starts digging a well, and every time he digs a well, somebody comes along and takes what he's digging. So he's losing stuff and he goes and digs another well and he goes and digs another well until he finds the place. And the place he goes and digs is the place of his father. I wish I had somebody in it. He goes back to the foot of that mountain where he was about to be sacrificed and he digs a well. I wish I had somebody, because he has to remember, I was going to be set up to die, but God put a ram in the bush and now I'm here. Slap your name and say, how's your memory, baby? The way you mind the gap, the way you navigate the gap is with your memory. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope that it is because of the Lord's mercies I am not consumed. Look at your name and say, how's your memory, baby? Have you forgot that fast what God did for you when you should have been taken out of here, but you are still here? You know. You should be 6 feet under. You.
God. Look at your neighbor and say, remember that you're still here. Do you want a deeper revelation? Remember that God chose you. I feel like preaching up in here and y'all ain't helping me. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't gotta like it, but God chose me, baby. I don't know why he chose me. He just did. All right, let me hurry up. Isaac digs another well, and when he digs a well, God makes room for him. God makes room for him, and watch me now, and he becomes friends with his adversaries. So, makes a feast for them. I got to hurry up. Makes a feast for them, and they celebrate together. His wife is barren. He prays and says, God, touch my wife Rebecca's womb. God touches Rebecca's womb. I'm giving you years of history here in a synopsis. God touches Rebecca's womb. And the Bible says that she had twins wrestling in her womb. And so Rebecca goes to God and says, what's going on? I got these twins wrestling in my womb. I don't understand what's happening. And she goes and asks the Lord and inquires of the Lord. And when she goes and inquires of the Lord, the word of the Lord comes to Rebecca and says, you have two nations wrestling in your womb. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Stay with me. You have two nations wrestling in your womb. And then God says to her that the younger is going to be greater than the older. And the older is going to serve the younger. Slap your name and say, God chose me, baby. God, I wish I had somebody to preach to. Inside of Rebecca's womb was Esau and Jacob. Jacob comes out. Jacob is trying to come out of the womb. Esau is coming out first. And as Esau is coming out first, Jacob inside the womb heard the word of the Lord that he was destined to occupy a spot that Esau was in. So he reached out and grabbed his heel. God, I'm preaching way better than y'all. Why? Because you in my spot, Jacob. I'm preaching right now. So Jacob, the midwife, sees Jacob reaching out, Lord have mercy, to grab his heel. And so the midwife ties a scarlet thread around the wrist of Jacob because Jacob in the womb is trying to get something that it's not time for. So he's got to be covered by the blood so that he doesn't step into his destiny too soon. Drop the mic, walk off the stage. Slap your name and say, God, thank you for not letting me get to the place too soon. If I got there too soon, I would have messed it up. If I got there too soon, I would have wrecked it. But the blood of Jesus, oh, God, I feel it up in here. All right, I gotta hurry up. Y'all sit down. Come on, let me preach this. Let's get here. Watch this. He's trying to grab something that he's destined for too soon. Because prophetically, God told her that he was going to be mightier than Esau. So he reached out to grab it in the womb. Because, and watch me now. Oh God, inside the womb, he heard the word. I can't stay here. And when he was in the womb, he said, that's my stuff right there. You don't have to wait for it to show up for you to recognize what belongs to you. But you do have to learn how to be patient and let God put you in the place. Oh, touch your neighbor. Say, there's some good stuff right here. Let me hurry up. Let me stop playing around. Let me hurry up. Watch this. They grow up together. Esau and Jacob, twins, but not identical. And they grow up together. And Rebecca knows what the Lord told her. Rebecca knows that God said that the younger is going to be mightier than the older. Here comes the time because Isaac's eyes are waxing dim. And the Bible says that Isaac wanted to bless his sons. Esau was a hunter. But Jacob was a mama's boy. Stay with me. Esau was a man's man. But Jacob was a house guy. Esau was comfortable being in the wild,
hunting for food, doing what men do. But Jacob was still nursing at Rebekah's breast as a grown man, not ready to step into his destiny because he was a mama's boy. And this is who God chose. God is always picking people to the natural eye who don't look ready or qualified for anything. But slap your name and say, hashtag God shows me, baby. I feel like preaching up in here. Watch this, watch this. I gotta hurry, y'all, hurry, hurry. He goes, and Rebekah comes to Jacob and says, now, baby, I want you to go and make your father something to eat. Make him some venison. I showed you how to cook. You know how to do that. And Jacob says, now, Ma, if he perceives that I am not Esau, stay with me. He is going to curse me and not bless me. Rebekah said, the curse is on me, not on you. And I can only imagine that she began to remind him what happened when he was in the womb. And Rebekah probably said, baby, when you were in the womb, you were reaching out for what God destined you to have, but it just wasn't time yet. I feel like preaching up in here, but now it's time for you to get the blessing that you're supposed to have. Don't worry about how it's coming. It's yours anyway. So she, not Jacob, Jacob gets a bad rap. The only reason Jacob's name means supplanter is because he reached out for something that God said he was supposed to have. We preach Jacob and we preach him as a swindler and a trickster, but he really was not. I'm preaching about y'all shouting. He was just a mama's boy. It was Rebekah who told him what to do and how to do it. Then Esau gave him the moniker as supplanter when he lost his birthright. People will always call you out of your name, but really don't know your nature. And then that name will stick and be a stigma on you for the rest of your life until God takes you to the place and changes your name to fit your nature. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. And so he gets the birthright. When he gets the birthright, he goes and has to leave because Esau gonna kill him. Because Esau know how to fight. Jacob don't. Okay, I can't get this. And Esau gonna kill him, so he leaves. And he leaves and he goes to his uncle's house, Laban. And he gets to his uncle's house. And when he gets there, he's in the gap. I'm preaching. He's in the gap. He knows that God destined him for something greater. He knows he has a greater nature, but he's got this name. So now he's working for something that he really wants, and he doesn't get it. He sees the woman of his dreams, doesn't get it. He gets Leah, not Rachel. The Bible says Leah was hard on the eyes. I didn't write it. Bible said it. The Bible says she had an arrogant eye. The eye just wouldn't stay still. It moved wherever it wanted to move and did whatever it wanted to do. That's what the Bible said. 7 years he works to get Rachel, but he's tricked into having Leah. 7 more years, stay with me. 7 more years, he now gets Rachel. Rachel can't produce nothing. Leah's having babies left and right. What he wants can't produce nothing. What he doesn't want is producing something left and right. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. What he got his eye on can't produce, but what he hates, what he loathes, what he can't stand is producing left and right. Because he has to learn how to trust God in the gap. He's got to learn that God said, I'm going to make you like your father Abraham, the father of many nations. And you can't question me where it's going to come from. It's going to come from the places you don't want it to come from. And it's also going to come from the places you want it to come from. Slap your name and say, that's the gap. That's the gap. God, I'm preaching up in here. Jacob is learning. And so the Bible says, watch me now, watch me now. He's learning. And in the gap, he's learning that it's not either or. It's not just horizontal. It's not to and fro. He has to learn that there's a different dimension. He hasn't come to that cross section of that axis. And so God has him in the gap so he can perceive it. And so the Bible says the first place that he has to learn about is this place called Bethel. He's at Bethel, and the Bible says he's by himself, and he lays down on these stones. The stones that he's laying down on are the stones that have been placed there by his father and his father's father. This is the same place that Abraham had to go up, my God, to sacrifice Isaac. This is the same place that Isaac now has to learn that he's going to dig a well and God's going to make room for him. And the Bible says he now goes and lays down on these stones. The stones that he lays down on knows him, but he doesn't know the stones. I'm trying to say that the place knows you, but you don't know the place. You don't hear what I'm saying? Jacob doesn't realize he's laying in the place where God is going to ultimately bless him, but he doesn't perceive it yet. He lays down on the stones, and the Bible says that he falls asleep. And when he falls asleep, God opens his eyes spiritually, and he sees angels ascending and descending. What's happening? The vertical dimension of God's power is opening up to him, and he's seeing God able to do something far more greater than just to and fro, back and forth, either or. He's opening his eyes up to the God option. Look at your neighbor and say, you got a God option, baby. The God option is not limited to to and fro, either or, blessing or cursing. You don't hear what I'm saying. The God option will produce in the place you don't want it to produce and produce in the place you want it to produce. The God option has vertical power. He leaves that place and he says, surely the Lord was here and I knew it not. He had no perception that he was in the place. He leaves there and he goes to Shechem. Shechem, Esau shows up and he's fearful. And God reminds him at Shechem, I'm going to bless you. 30 years pass by and he gets the Peniel. Ah, God, I'm preaching. From Bethel to Shechem, from Shechem to Peniel. And Peniel is where he learns how he's got to deal with himself. And at Peniel, he goes to sleep and wakes up and there's a man in the room. The Bible says the angel of the Lord came and wrestled with him all night. And he begins to wrestle with the angel. And he says to the angel, what is your name? And the angel says, you don't need to know my name. And he's wrestling with him, and he's wrestling with him. And Jacob says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. God, you can't take me to this place as Jacob. You can't take me to this place of being everything that I'm not supposed to be. You can't take me to this place of not knowing who I truly am and what I'm really, really capable of. You can't take me to this place and let everybody see how frail or how weak I am. You can't take me to this place, God. And he says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And the Bible says the angel of the Lord struck his thigh and broke it until he let him go. Because the blessing that you're looking for is in the breaking that God is about to give you. My God, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. You think the breaking is a bad thing, but the breaking is a good thing. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, God is breaking me to bless me, baby. There's a reason why you got that limp. There's a reason why you had to go through what you had to go through. There's a reason why you had to endure what you had to endure. Because God is breaking me to bless me. And he called the name of the place Peniel, for I've seen the face of God.
And God now takes him to the fourth place. Watch me now. Watch me now. Which is back at Bethel. You start at the place, and God gives you a glimpse of what he's going to do. Then he takes you to the gap, the in-between of what he showed you and when it becomes permanent. Oh, God. And now he's at Bethel. And he takes all his family. And Jacob tells his family, leave all your idols. Don't take none of the past. Don't bring none of it with you. I don't want one shred of clothing or articles of what you've been through. We're going to a new place. Don't take your old rags. Don't take your old mindsets. Don't take your old worship. Don't take your old praise. Don't take your old complaints. Don't take your old friends. Don't take it. We're going to a new place. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, I'm going to a new place, baby. And when I get to the new place, I'm going to have a new level of worship and a new level of praise and a new level of thankfulness and a new level of forgiveness and a new level of power and a new level of anointing. Oh, slap your neighbor a high five and say, I'm going to a new place. He gets to Bethel. I'm finished. He gets to Bethel. I'm not going to hope you. He gets to Bethel. Watch me now. And he builds an altar. And when he builds the altar, God blesses him again. Every spot that God took him to, Bethel, Shechem, Peniel, back to Bethel, was God saying, I have a place for you, son. It's permanent. It's permanent. And God reminded him again that your name is not Jacob. It's Israel. You just reached out for something that you weren't ready for. Oh, God. But now you're ready. Oh, I feel a preacher in my spirit, but I know we got to go. Just look at your name and say, now you're ready, baby. Now you're ready. 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 Oh, come on. Come on. Talk to somebody. Say, now you're ready. Now you're ready to walk into the destiny that God purposed you to occupy. Now you're ready for that position. Now you're ready for that promotion. Now you're ready for that opportunity. Now you are ready. Now you're ready. Now you're ready. The Bible says he made an altar and he poured oil on the altar. He worshiped. He worshiped. When God takes you to the place, it's intimate. It's a simple, thank you, God. It's a worship and an adoration to the Father that says, I'm not even so supposed to be in this place. I shouldn't even made it back. I should not even made it back. But you've been so good to me. Oh, God, I should not even made it to this place, but you've been so good. Come on, can I talk to two or three folk that don't mind giving God worship because you're thankful? Come on, stand up all over this church. Give them 30 seconds of worship and just say, you've been so good. You might not know the place, but the place knows you. You might not perceive God being somewhere, but he's there. I don't have 3 points in a poem for you, but I had a word. God, I feel the Lord in you. I feel the Lord in here. Somebody just lift your voice and give him a hallelujah and a thank you, Jesus. God, you've been so good. Oh. I shouldn't have made it. But I did. Yeah.
But I do. He chose me in the womb. Before I was formed in the womb. He chose you. You're sitting in this room. You might not have understood a word I said. But know this. God has a place for you. The place is the spot that you and only you are destined to occupy. No one else can take your place. So you don't have to compete. You don't have to trick. You don't have to hustle. You don't have to get over. It's your spot. But you do have to trust. And until you learn to trust, God will keep you in the gap. You can praise in the gap. You learn a lot in the gap. Because what you really learn is that I can't stay here. And I'm too far away from what I used to be. So I might as well press toward the mark of the prize of the high call and go after what God set up. Hallelujah. Lift those hands, receive the blessing of the Lord. I want to pray over you. All over this church in the balcony, watching live stream. God has a place for you. It's the place you were destined to occupy. Wake up. See God. Wake up. Be free. Declutter. Forgive. Trust. Do whatever you have to do to go to the place. Do whatever is necessary, whatever it takes. God has a place just for you. It's a place that's going to bless you, bless your family, bless the people that God called you to. It's the place of purpose, of power, of potential. It's the place of peace. It's your spot, and God designed it just for you. I pray you leave here saying, I got a place. I got a spot where the blessings of God flow, where the peace of God lives, where His favor surrounds me like a shield. You got a place. Father, I thank you for every person in this room, every place, every spot. Every purpose, every shred of potential. Let someone leave this place, Father, knowing that you have a place for them. You've gone to prepare it. You've opened doors. You've shut doors. You've tore down walls. You've put up walls. You've connected them. You've disconnected them. You've been working on this for a long time. And God, now you're putting the finishing touches on something big that's about to happen in their life. As we walk out of these doors, let us perceive it. Let us know it. Not feel it. Know it. Without a shadow of a doubt. Regardless of what's happening. Regardless of situation and circumstance. We know that we have a place. Bless these, God. Let your face shine upon them. Be gracious unto them. Give them peace. Surround them with your favor as with a shield. Let your angels encamp themselves round about them. And let your blood cover them from now until eternity. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Come on, hug two or three people and say, I got a place, baby. God bless you. We love you.